This morning we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 through 25. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us also. All right. Just as a matter of context here, we have a shift in verse 23. Paul turns to prayer. Above chapter 5, verses 12 through 25, Paul there is giving admonitions, different ones. He tells them to respect the brethren who are called to, that labor among them and that pastor and have guard over them. He says to respect them and to esteem them highly. And he tells those who are, those who may be idle and not doing what they should do, they quit their jobs, waiting for the Lord's presence, to not do that. In verse 16, he gives a list of things. He says, rejoice always. 17, pray without ceasing. In verse 18, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. And then verses 19, we talked about last week, about do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophesying, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. And with that, that's kind of a lot of stuff. And you know, you think that I'm going slowly. You know, if you had a real someone that really knew his stuff, you could stay in these passages. Once we got to the end, we can start over. It's just, every is just so full. God's word is so full. But with verse 23, Paul shifts gears. He just prays suddenly, breaks out in prayer. My mother used to do that. It used to really disconcern me. Concern me? Was that concert? Disconcert me, yeah. It freaked me out in the old hippie days. Because, you know, you'd be sitting there and she'd be she'd put those little Pop-Tarts in for Anna and Abigail, and she'd be cooking breakfast and orange juice, and someone would mention something and she'd just break out in prayer and you'd go. Now, I kind of thought she was a little overboard. I don't know. I reconsider all that. But Paul does. He just breaks out in prayer. He doesn't give a warning. He doesn't say, now let me pray for you. Do any of that. And he breaks out in this prayer and he prays for them. And it's wonderful. Now, he gives a little warning. Now, let me just be frank. He does say, now. Now may the God of peace. That's a slight warning. And so he prays for them, and we'll just consider this prayer. And there's some wonderful stuff here. He prays that they be kept holy or sanctified, that they may be sanctified completely. Did you know there's coming a day when the unholy will be forbidden? This won't be a democracy deal coming up. The whole universe will become into complete harmony with God. There'll be no breaking out over here or people jumping the fence and running off that direction. There won't be atoms that'll never happen. It won't happen again. Where someone just says, I think I'm going to do what God doesn't want me to do. That won't happen anymore. The universe will be brought into complete I'm going to use the, it's a harsh term. It has negative connotation, but you shouldn't let it do that to you. Subjugation to God. All things will be brought into order. And that's why it says the God of peace. Disorder will be put away. And it will be called sanctification. Now may God sanctify you wholly. Everything will be set aside for God. A person that is holy is a person that is made himself or has been made to fit God's purposes. That's what's coming. So he says, may God sanctify you wholly. So we too are going to be brought into this holiness, and God's going to sanctify us completely, it says, thoroughly, wholly. I'm trying to think of some kind of illustration that won't get me in trouble, because this is when I get in trouble is illustrations. But you come back, and I'm imagine my lawn boy days when I'm a landscaper, and I might have hired a college kid, and I'll say, now I'm going to go off and do some work over here while you're doing work over here, and when I get back, would you do like these things to be done? And you come back and you look around and you think, And then you look around over here and maybe the back. Remember Amy Carmichael always looked thinking about the places in the back were always clean and nice. Remember that? Lebeth's shaking her head. It's this holy completely. It's all done. What a joy. For a guy that has a lot of work to do, and that college student, you come back and he's done it all, and you go, oh, man, I didn't have to do any of that. That's why you hired him. The time is coming that God will sanctify us completely. You won't be able to, there's no sweeping it under the carpet. We only have one carpet at my house. All the rest of the house is kind of carpet like this from wall to wall kind of deal. But we have a wooden place where there's some wooden floor, and there's one carpet. You think I ever sweep anything under that carpet? I'll let you answer that. To look at my nature, would I ever do such a thing? But you see, it's going to be God will sanctify us completely. No unsightly places. No little spot on our shirt where we were, ate cream gravy and biscuits and a little bit of that there, and we couldn't get it all out. But maybe no one notices. It'll be clean. Everything will be pure. Everything will be put in order in your life. Isn't that glorious? The God of peace. This is, we've been kind of stepping around this, not really saying it completely, but he is the God of peace. He is the God of order. When things are complete and entire and all things are in subjection to him, we have no idea what this universe would look like in those terms. One day it hit me strongly. I used to love hunting and fishing and gardening and stuff. But you know this world that we live in is built on death? Every time you turn a light switch, oil is powering most of that. You'll pump that out of there. It's carbons. It's plant material that's fermented, I guess. I don't know what they call it. I wish my son-in-law was here. He'd tell us. But the point is, there's death. This universe has been built on thousands and thousands of plant material. And what did the Indians give the pilgrims to put in by their corn? That's apocryphal, but a dead fish. There's coming a day when the world, there'll be no death of any kind. Everything will. You may love nature as it is. I don't like it now that the more I know about it, the more violent it is, the more rough and tumble it is. You may say nature is wonderful, but not for the fish if the bear catches up in the northwest. That's not wonderful. You may say, oh, it's wonderful. Look at that. Well, just imagine yourself in the midst of that. Do you see my point? The universe, we have no idea what complete harmony will be like. But we will be in that world, and we ourselves will be in harmony with our God. He will sanctify us completely. And it says God Himself will do this. Did you know what? God's business with us is personal. Why does it say Himself? Doesn't it say Himself? Who has Himself? He's going to contract this out to others. No. God Himself is about... Isn't it wonderful that God Himself deals with us and not some stranger? You know, that comes in the house, no one's looking, so he kicks the dog and, you know, slaps you up the side of the head. You know, God, there's not going to be some stranger ruffian come in and sanctify us. Isn't that wonderful? It's personal. God sanctifying each one of us. Making us holy, making us fit for the days that are coming. The God of peace. Now may the God of peace sanctify you wholly. Making this God of tranquility and peace and goodness holy, entire. Nothing swept under the rug. Okay, go to the next part of that verse. He says, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, may our spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless or preserved or made, guarded. Again, it's the word completeness. This whole idea here is utter perfectness. Through and through. May He keep you complete. You know, God does the keeping. Who of y'all are going to get to heaven because you held on to Him really hard? Oh, I'm going to heaven because I've got a grip on Him. Nuh-uh. You may. I want you to have a grip on Him. I want you to trust Him and put your complete weight on Him. But He has us. I'm going to jump ahead and I can't help it. God who calls us is what? Verse 24. But I'm jumping ahead. Let's go back. May you be guarded completely, kept, you might say. May He look over you and keep His eye on you, keep you. God does this for us. It is a passive thing. We get it done to us. God keeps us. Or you might even translate it, kept complete. May you be kept complete or blameless. It's ongoing. And it's passive. We have it done to us. It's going on right now. God is keeping you. I want you to know I will break out into sin the moment He leaves me. Just like that. Why? Because that's my fallen nature. I must be kept. And Paul is praying here for these Thessalonians. May God keep you blameless. You know what blameless means? It means Jeff Epp walking up to that yard and the college students working, and he looks at that guy and sees what his work done, and Jeff Epp being really critical and lazy, doesn't want to do any more work, he looks at the guy and he says to that fella, "Looks great." Go around back, it still looks great. Look under the carpet, it still looks great. Blameless. When was the last time you did anything perfectly? Are you thinking about it? You may have. But perfection is such a rare thing. You may have gone to work and done this and that, and you look back at it and you say, okay, that's good. That's good. It's perfect. It's great. But that is what's going to be about you. And you're going to be, you're kept blamelessly, completely. The word complete is in here a lot. It's just not going to, blameless. Where? When? At His coming. Now that's when you really, the rubber meets the road. There's coming a day. God's working on it now. He's doing it now, but there is coming a day when we will come into His presence, and we just want to be okay at that point. No man. Well, I remember talking to Phil Metzinger once, and I was saying something silly, I forget. And he said, "I just want to be there in that great throng." He didn't have much aspirations past that. And for the Lord to walk, you know, and what are those wonderful parables where the master comes in and he sees someone in the feast and he's not dressed appropriately? You don't want that. This, what's come, God is going to keep us to such a glorious extent that this can all, we could be kept in when Jesus returns, and we can look up with a conscience and say, "Praise the Lord, He's here." And none of this will be transformed. We'll be complete, blameless at His presence. Now that's wonderful. It's coming. For some, it'll be the worst day of their existence. For others, it will be the most glorious at His presence, at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He's coming back. He's coming back. And the only way we can be prepared for it, we could scurry around and look under the carpet and clean under there, or do this or that and try to straighten up. No, no, no. He does it. This verse right here that we're reading is talking about what God does. He'd been talking about what we should do. This is the other side of the coin. Remember we read it a while ago, all the things that Paul told them to do? That's what he did. That's what he told them to do. But this is what God does. That's why Paul is praying for them. I know you think, well, we know this, Jeff. He says, sanctify them, spirit, soul, and body. Now, this is when you get in the controversy of the scholars, but I'll just say this. The idea that we are spirits that have bodies is all through the Scripture. We are spiritual beings that live in bodies. And Paul says it over and over again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 23. May the God of peace be with your spirit. He says it in Philemon, in Galatians. May the God of peace be with your spirit. We are spiritual beings. In fact, we are not Paul says an amazing statement when he's talking about the gift of tongues, people praying in tongues, praying in a language that they don't know. He says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Which means there's something about our spirits that's over against our normal activity. Thought activity. In other words, our spirit is that thing that relates to God, whether we're knowing it exactly at that moment or not. I remember I was in a Presbyterian church. The Presbyterians, they're right down there. We are over here. But the Presbyterians, I remember asking a fellow, a Presbyterian minister in Cleburne, Texas, not here, but in Cleburne. And I said, what does it mean that we're a spirit? And he said something just profound and as simple. He says, that's that part of us that can relate to God. We are spirits. He is a spirit. We are spirits. When Leah's daddy left this world, what left? His body? No, his body was here, inert, lifeless. His spirit went. We are spirits. And I tell you, sometimes it's like those saints said that day when they were listening to Jesus and they were walking along on the road to Emmaus and they said, didn't our hearts burn? Hey, they used a different word there. But it's the same thing. Within that part of us that we were part of us was, we were listening to him teach, but there was part of us that were completely aware who they were standing with. Isn't that wonderful? May you be kept completely blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit. Then he says, your soul. This is a little bit more difficult. By the way, there's three terms of spirit, soul, and body. We know the body part pretty well. That's the part we take to Dr. Mark and ask him to help us. But these other terms are a little bit not as easy. But our soul, what is a soul? Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, let every person or soul be subject to governing authorities. That's who we are. That's the part of us that relates to the world around us. I actually think, in some sense, animals have a soul. You see your dog wanting to go for a walk and his little tail's going. It's very soulish. It's part of his life. There's something in him that's alive. And so if they tell me sometimes that can dogs and animals and dolphins and all those people things, not people, but persons or whatever they are, if you say, well, they have a soul, to some extent I think they do, and that wouldn't hurt my faith one bit. Have you heard whales sing? I love that. We have souls. Let every soul be subject. We are to take our person, this person that relates to the world around us through what we can see, hear, taste, touch, and feel. That's our soul. We are alive. In Philippians, Paul says about Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need for the work of Christ. He risked his soul. We translate it life for me. What's that mean? He risked his life. That's the part of us that's, well, it, like I've described it. It's that part of us that can relate to the world around us and intellectually relate to each other. And but that isn't... So now we'll just go on from there. We are, may your spirit, soul, and body. But before we get there, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm. And Paul uses them together here. In one spirit and in one mind or soul. That the saints there are not only their spiritual, their spirit, he wants them to be not... that this part of their personality is not separated from each other. It's one thing for to have your spirit right, but be really, I think of the word discombobulated in your head. A person can be right in his spirit, but really confused about something. So he says, he wants the saints there in Philippi to be of one spirit and of one mind, using the word soul. So where Paul goes on here, so he says, may you, your spirit, soul, and body be kept. It's all of who we are. There'll be complete harmony at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The things that are amiss as you look at me will be made right. The things that are amiss as I look at you will be made right. All of us, I'm telling you, all of us, if we could see what we clearly, and we just saw us, who we are, outside of Christ, we would be horrified at each other. Oh my. We'd be horrified when we looked in the mirror. But isn't it wonderful that God is sanctifying us completely? Okay. God, and then Paul goes directly to the whole point. He was kind of touched around right at the first. May God sanctify you wholly. Now he says, the one who calls us to this is faithful. In other words, all the things that you needed done, and even in the midst of all that, he'd been calling. Isn't it wonderful that God's constantly calling us? It's not like he called us before we got saved, and then we heard his call, and now we've heard his call. He continually calls us. Do you know he continually calls us? He who calls you, is faithful. I've given the illustration, I'll give it one more time. Then maybe I'll give it the illustration three or more after that. But I've only met a shepherd once, and it was on a Greek island, and he was shepherding goats. And as we looked off, Lee Beth and I were sitting kind of high on a hill on a wall or something like that, looking over a wall, and we saw some dust. The Greek islands are dusty places. And some dust kind of coming up over there, and all of a sudden some goats come there. And back behind that group of goats was a shepherd. And he's clicking. Whoop, whoop. And those goats are paying attention. Constant. And he's following them. He's not leading. These guys back here with horses, they lead their horses. Well, y'all try to see if you can get that horse to do what you want it to do by clicking at it. Does it work? It does? Good, that's good. You're constantly calling to that horse, whether it's a goat or whatever. He is constantly in communion. God calls us. Who is God? He's the one who calls us. And he is, what's it say? Faithful. He is the one that'll do it. He is faithful, faithful, faithful. Oh. I'm telling you, he is incapable of letting you go. His beloved. Jesus, his son, died for you. He is faithful. Continually, he's continually calling us. And then at the end of verse 24, who will perform it? Up in verse 22, Paul tells us to abstain from every form of evil. The idea there is that it's, you know, evil is we talk about things being multifaceted. Evil is multifaceted. It's all over. And then Paul tells him, just abstain from every form of evil. And you think, well, I don't know if I could do that. I hope I could do that. Am I smart enough? Have I gotten enough teaching or the right teaching? Have I read the Bible enough? I don't know if I could... Every form of evil, there's so many things amiss in the world. Every form of it. Who's going to do this for us? God will do it. What's that say? Doesn't it say something like that? He will surely do it. One version says, he also will perform it. I'll tell you, that's a promise. We should have had Steve. That could have been a great... Did you preach on that one? Probably did. But he will do it. Why will we be there in that throng? Because God will do it. Now, after praying that for these saints, God, what does Paul say? You pray for me. Isn't this sweet, brothers? Pray for me also. I pray for you. Pray for me also. There's no sense of, you know, some popish idea that the ministers of the gospel or even apostles were above sinning. There's none of that in the scripture. We are brothers. We all need what? Prayed for. We pray to the God who will do it, to do it. All right, let's pray right now. Father, this is our hope. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for Paul's letter. And Father, it blesses us that he felt the need to be prayed for. Father, we feel the need to be prayed for. We pray that we'd pray for one another. We pray you'd put it in our hearts to pray for one another and to seek this grace from your hand. Father, we thought this week of that wonderful idea that God's grace is sufficient. This is our complete hope before you, Lord, is that your graciousness to us would be all we need. Father, any sense in us that somehow or another our sufficiency is of ourselves, strike it down out of us. May we know it's your Son and His work, your faithfulness, that will get us through. Pray this in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.